Greetings. This is As You Wish Talk Radio, and I'm your host, James Gilliland, and we've got another great show today. We've got Sheila Alien on the show, and she's very well known throughout the YouTube channels and posts some pretty amazing footage over and over again. And we like to sponsor people and get people out there that are doing this kind of work and let people know about their work so they can you know, continue to get this information out. I think it's a valuable service to humanity, you know, to let people know what's going on every level, just not the UFO field, but some of the other events, the environmental events and other events happening on the planet. Speaking of which, before we bring Sheila on, I want to talk a little bit about what is going on the planet. It is getting crazy. I mean, it's hard to sift through everything and figure out what's what, and there's a lot of messages out there that are kind of disempowering, or they jump the gun way ahead of schedule. You know, speaking of like the mass arrests and all these other things that are supposed to be happening. But, you know, basically you know, I think eventually that is going to happen. These things are going to unfold. The whole system has become so corrupt and so top heavy. I mean, you know, printing billions and billions of dollars and trillions of dollars now, and nobody knows where it went, and now they're finding out where it went, and then holding the taxpayers hostage to this is all going to come down, you know, and with all the derivatives and the junk bonds and all the other things that have been going on for quite a long time are all hitting the fan at once. So basically, between now and I would say November, we're going to have a very rocky ride, you know, not to mention the earth changes as well. But I wanted to bring Sheila on because she's been talking about these events happening and get her perspective on it and maybe find out how this all started for Sheila. So, Sheila, are you with us?
I am, yes.
Hey, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I'm getting a little bit of feedback. It might be because of the solar flares, but it usually straightens out as we go further. But I'm just curious, what got you into this field as far as being an information gatherer and UFO watcher and all the other things that you're doing?
I started in like 2008 or 2009 UFO hunting with these cameras that are in Tucson. They're city-operated web cameras that you can go online and you can operate them and zoom in and stuff. And I would just record my screen hunting for UFOs that way. And a local news station caught wind of that, and they interviewed me. And ever since then, I got a camera, and I started UFO hunting. And I got a lot of interesting footage over the last few years. After that, I kind of branched off into other things as well, like you said, the earth changes and economical, whatever happens to be going on that I find interesting. I started posting on as well.
Yeah, your latest clip I thought was very interesting. In Hawaii, some strange slick substance showed up, and they said it was like they're not sure what it is. It's kind of a milky, white or silvery substance with all of these threads of look like silicone fibers or something showing up in the bay. And I'm curious what your take is on that.
Yeah, that cobweb stuff. People, I'm not exactly sure, but everybody's consensus seems to be that it's chemtrail related. And if you look at some of the pictures of some of the fallout from chemtrails, it does kind of look like that. So I'm not sure if that's what it is or why it would just be in the water, but I think it might be related to those little creatures that had been washing up on shore the same week. So there's something going on over there in Hawaii for sure.
Yeah, I'm wondering if, you know, maybe because if one of these chemtrail planes crashed, you wouldn't hear about it. I mean, it would be kind of hushed up, you know, because it is a top secret thing. You know, they don't want to tell anybody what they're spraying on us. But, you know, it sounds to me like either something crashed or they were having trouble and had to dump their load, you know, to for some reason. But the spill looks just like, almost just like where another plane actually crashed and dumped its load into the surrounding area and some of the ponds and things. It looks almost identical.
Yeah, Really? Yeah, something is definitely in the water upsetting the marine life and everything, so that could be true.
Yeah. Yeah, like if, you know, as if the Gulf well, you know, disasters weren't enough. Now we're dropping some other unknown chemicals and spiderweb substance into the ocean.
I know. And the tsunami and all the garbage and the radiation and, yeah, mm-hmm. Terrible.
Yeah, it's, I'm just curious what, as far as UFOs, like not everybody is into UFOs, and a lot of the mainstream people and, you know, even in schools and things are will make fun of you or whatever if you, you know, go into this subject. I'm curious what kind of drove you into covering this subject.
Well, my mom has always been into this type of stuff, and I definitely get it from her, and she was always okay with it, so we kind of relate on that level. And I never minded being different or weird. I'm just kind of used to it. So I just find it so interesting, and it's just too boring trying to fit in with everybody else when it's not even something we find interesting, you know, to talk about what they talk about. So I don't know, it's just in me. I can't really explain it.
I know with some people, they actually feel like they're not from here. They're actually from somewhere else, and they don't fit in. And they're very attracted to these off-world experiences or documenting this information. And I've seen this again and again and again. And when we do process-oriented therapies here and things like that, and it comes up where people are actually in their soul, they're not really from here, and they're very interested in the skies and what's flying around the skies, and you know, praying for a major reunion to happen.
Yeah, I definitely do feel like that, to be honest. I don't have any, like, scientific reason for why I think that makes any sense or anything, but, yeah, I do feel like I'm one of those, like, indigo child or whatever type of person, you know, feel like I came from somewhere else.
Mm-hmm. That seems to be a common denominator with what I've seen with a lot of people that have a real strong interest in going out and watching the skies and yeah, looking for UFOs and things like that. Is they have a deep connection or a drive, but they can't really explain what it is or where it's coming from. But they don't fit in with society. They don't. They find most of the societal programming very, very boring.
Yep, for sure.
You're probably in that same category. Some of the things that you. That you are covering, you know, as far as the Earth, I've seen that most of the same type of people also have a real strong reverence for life and, you know, taking care of the environment and cleaning up the environment. And that seems to be also one of the drives behind, you know, the posts that you're putting out on YouTube.
Let me see. What have I posted recently? I'm trying to think. Regards to cleaning up the earth and stuff. I don't know. I post on so many different things, I can't really think at the moment. But yeah, I'm definitely concerned about like the state of our planet. If there's ever like an oil spill or something that doesn't get reported, I definitely report on that. There's stuff going on in Louisiana in the bayou. There's, you know, there's bubbling happening and people's homes are shaking and they don't know why. It's been happening since May, and they actually just issued a voluntary evacuation in that part of Louisiana. Mm-hmm. So
now
I'm wondering if it's a volcano.
Yeah. It does seem, you know, that's another thing, the earth groans. You know, I know you've been on top of that, and that seems to be happening. That's like a worldwide phenomenon right now.
Yeah, it was definitely earlier this year. There's a lot of the weird sounds happening. Some of them were hoaxes, but the ones that weren't are what's interesting, and you know, they still haven't been explained. So,
have you noticed on YouTube that when you have a real time event, like a major event that is really out of the ordinary, like some major earth change or a UFO event or something of that nature, it seems like there's a group out there and you know, God knows who they are. You know, they're probably paid disinformation agents, but they just flood the internet with, you know, the same words, the same titles with CGI or a lot of faked footage.
Yeah, they hijack videos. They hijack headlines, basically. And, you know, they'll put a fake video or something that's somewhat similar in notion to what everybody's searching for, and they just mislead people. And, I mean, I can tell them right away, and I call them out a lot of the time. Like, I did that recently because I can't stand it, but there's just too many instances to try to keep up with. But it is definitely a group of people, it seems, that are just, that's their agenda, is to mislead everybody even more.
Yeah, it'd be their job, you know, to do so.
I think so.
Yeah, how would you tell, like, between, like, the CGI and the real deal as far as some of the UFO footage out there?
Oh, I'm actually not that great with the CGI, like, telling, you know, if it's fake or not, but I'm actually friends with Hoax Killer. I don't know if you know who he is, but, like, he can tell a fake video, you know, from a mile away, and I always ask him. You can go to thehoaxkiller.com and post it in a forum there, and him and all his buddies will, like, tell you if it's fake or not, basically. Like, and they'll tell you specific reasons and stuff like that. So I always double-check with him if I'm not sure.
Yeah. I had one guy here that, you know, he came up with a million reasons why one of the footage that we had here was hoax. And the problem with that is that there was about 15 witnesses, and the guy that took the footage was like a 15-year-old kid. I saw him take the shot, and I saw him get all excited, and he ran over to his dad, and they're a very kind of conservative family. It was either the best acting job I've ever seen, or, you know, but and he couldn't figure it out either. The dad was going, "What is that?" He could not figure it out. And just by knowing people's nature, you know, these guys had nothing to prove. They didn't want to cash in on it. They had nothing. But I had so many people say that's a hoax because of this and this, and the pixels are wrong. And they came up with all these reasons, you know, for it being a hoax. And I said, you know, I saw the guy take the picture. I saw the event myself with my own eyes. I saw the guy take the picture. There was multiple witnesses at the time. I'm really having a hard time. You know, either your methods, there's something wrong with your methods, or the ship itself is distorting the fields, you know, distorting, you know, the pixel.
I get that a lot, too. People just basically don't believe that what I've recorded could be real, so it must be a hoax. But they can't, you know, they don't give any good reason why. They just say that, and it's just really annoying, actually, because, like, I was there, and it's not fake, so.
Yeah. Well, there are armchair investigators that they have a PhD, and so they think they're authorities, you know. But then you ask them, just say, well, where'd you get your PhD? Do they teach UFO in that college? You know, do they teach anything about UFOs? You know, as far as their propulsion, who they are, their culture, where they come from. And so they actually teach you that these are not UFOs. And so your program is to debunk or everything, you know, with your letters behind the name. But, you know, we get that a lot here, and I just said, you know, Einstein said, you know, condemnation without investigation is the height of ignorance. And so, you know, if you're going to sit in your armchair and tear people down and attack people, you know, without any investigation, then basically you've reached that height, you know.
Yeah, they're just as bad as the people who hoax, in my opinion. So,
yeah
I asked the hoax killer, and, like, there's been plenty of times where he just says that he doesn't know what it is, or that it's some other natural phenomenon or whatever. He's pretty, like, unbiased on that. So I always double check with those people.
Yeah. Some of the ships that we see here, what I see is the ships that are really clear. I mean, they're very, very clear, and you can see, like, nuts and bolts on them, basically, or things like that. I think the majority of those are hoaxes. And because when you see the real ships flying around here, and all the ships I've seen here have energy fields around them, they create distortions. And so you never really get a crisp, clear photograph. Every once in a while, somebody will come up with one. And I think the more physical they are, probably the less evolved they are. But almost all the ships, when they're powered up and they're flying, have some intense energy fields around them, and that distort the shot, you know, so it doesn't, it's not going to look really crisp, clear.
I know what you mean. And you used to, like, I saw you in some type of documentary or something where you said that, you know, they get really bright and then they kind of turn away from you, you know? Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, because they were doing that to me a lot, and I had a lot of videos of doing that, and I don't know, I heard you say that one time, and it really resonated with me, because that's what they do. They just stop, they get really bright, and then they go back down, and they just kind of, like, very coy the way they go back, you know, the way they came from.
And it definitely, when they do that, do you feel like an energy exchange happen?
I guess you could say that, yeah. I feel like they're saying hi to me for sure, because why other reason would they, you know, stop, get bright, and go back the same way they came from in the first place? So, yeah.
A lot of people, they get real giddy or they feel really high, and people say, well, that's just the excitement of the contact. But I think it's much different. I think there's a telepathic communion going on and some kind of energy exchange, because I feel the ships way before I see them.
I just get lucky. Like, I get lucky and I decide to stay out an extra minute longer or chase after this one light that I wasn't sure was going to do anything, stuff like that. But I don't feel, like, excited. I get really calm. Like, it's my duty to record it, so I have to stay calm and keep the camera still. It's interesting.
Yeah, it is. It's sometimes, it depends on the group. Sometimes it's a real calming energy. You know, it's a real, but that comes with connection, you know, when you connect with these really high beings. But I've seen also, too, some people get, it's like a love, a giddy love feeling, you know. And here we have all the birds start singing at night and the coyotes go off. And they're scanning, until the ships are scanning the group and seeing, you know, what the group consciousness is about. And then I think they decide how low they come in.
That is so cool. I'd love to go out there someday. I gotta check it out.
Yeah, yeah. Most people come out here don't want to go. If people come here for a weekend and they always cry when they leave. They go, I don't want to go. It feels like family, you know, to them.
Yeah. But,
yeah. Have you seen the eSETI Stargate site?
Website?
Yeah, on YouTube.
I don't think so. I'm not sure.
It's new, and we just put it up, and it has just the last week, the latest shots of the last week, and there's just phenomenal footage of ships coming in, powering up, turning. You know, some have three or four ships in one frame interacting with each other.
I have to pick that up.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know that you had any new stuff on YouTube.
So. We had another one, and it was tied to another person that left here. But and we're putting all our footage on that line, but we kept having trouble because there was copyright things and stuff like that happened. So we had to open up our whole new site, and then some of the stuff we transferred over had some music in it that was put on there earlier that was fine until we transferred it over, and then all of a sudden, you know, we had the copyright police coming.
Problems, yeah. YouTube's getting pretty crazy about that.
Yeah, so we are going to have to redo some of the footage, you know, and some of the other things, the older footage, just because of that. Some songs were added that weren't that we didn't even know about. You know, somebody else made that one, but at eSETI Stargate, you know, if people want to go to that, go to YouTube. You can see the last week's footage, and it's crazy. I mean, it's we had an event here with a couple hundred people out there, you know, watching these ships come in, and it's funny because this last conference was much more of a spiritual gathering. We had Tian Jia, she's a Tian Gong master here. We had Anelia Benz here, Renato Longato. Oh God, I'm trying to think. Brooks Agnew was there. I was one of the speakers. Jason Verbelli. Spencer Barclay gave a talk. Just all kinds of really neat people came in. And Mel Fabregas was there too, and he actually moderated the panel discussion. And during the panel discussion, they put it up on our Facebook page. I think somebody put it up there. I'll have to check it out, but the photograph. But the during the panel discussion, this whole blanket of light just came down, and it was full with about, you know, 3 or 4 foot size orbs that were diamond shaped, coming down on top of the whole panel. And every time somebody
was
using
a night vision camera, or using
no, this is like inside infrared? During the conference, just with regular cameras. And the energy is so thick here, you almost don't even need night vision. You can, you can see it. Regular eye can. I see it with my regular eyes, and then I tell people where to shoot, you know, where to shoot their cameras. But, it's just amazing footage. And everybody here just had a great time and smooth. Everything ran really smooth, and everybody got higher than a kite. But we had the last day we had some UFO activity just because it was rainy. It was kind of cloudy, and the sky just wasn't conducive to sightings. But the last night we had some sightings. But the week following that, it cleared up, and we just had just massive UFOs coming over one after another.
That's awesome.
But, most of that's on the ESETI Stargate. If you just go to ESETI Stargate on YouTube, you can watch it.
But, yes, I'm looking it up right now. I'm going to go ahead and subscribe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Don't play it during the interview, though.
I won't.
Mix it up. But, I'm just curious. Now you're in Tucson, so is there a lot of activity there in Tucson?
Yeah, there has been. I've recorded a lot of stuff that I can't really explain, and I think there's a lot of activity. And I recently started hunting again after like not doing it so much, and there's still a lot of stuff going on around here. I don't know what it is because we're like right next to an Air Force base, and I think that might have something to do with it, but there's definitely a lot of activity here. We're right by Phoenix too, so.
I know they had the Phoenix Lights happening over there, and even the governor got involved in that one and kind of put it down at first, and then later came out and said, "Hey, this did happen," and these, he believes they're off-world. So, was it Smythe Symington or something like that, or?
Was that his name? I think so.
I think that was
And he tried to joke about it at first, and he brought out somebody in an alien costume, but later on he actually recanted the whole thing and said that it was something unexplainable. I think something obviously happened that night other than military flares, because there's just too many stories.
There's I can't remember her last name, Dr. Lynn something, but she has videos and books out on it. And I got the footage at the very beginning. I got some really good footage from people that sent it to me in the very beginning of some of the activity. And so it seems like not just one thing happened there. I think there was two major sightings going on at the same time. And then they came in and dropped some flares to try to cover it up, to see if they could, create a cover story. But the footage that I saw there was very clear. It was obvious they weren't flares. They sat there in one spot for quite some time, and then they went up and left.
Those Phoenix Lights, I actually saw them on a web camera, and I actually made a video out of the captures that I got. The Phoenix Lights, they came on a Phoenix web camera for me, like three nights in a row. They came, they lined up, and then they would stay there for a while, and then they'd go back, they'd go away. But it's a classic Phoenix Lights formation, and I have the video on my YouTube. So,
great. And that was near, they scrambled some jets, so it was near, I know it was by the, is it Sky Harbor? Airport there. It was right near Sky Harbor, but I don't know where they scrambled the jets, but they did scramble some military jets to go up and check it out.
Yeah, back in 1997?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's weird. Like, they wouldn't need to scramble jets if it was military players, so.
Well, we had an incident here. We had two jets that were scrambled to go after something here not too long ago. I mean, it's just a couple of years ago, and neither one of them came back.
Really?
And there's just a short little blurb. There was a short little little blurb about it. You know, it wasn't, didn't receive very much coverage, but you know, these are really small towns in where I live, and it was in this area, and they just did a short little cover. You know, there was an incident regarding two jets, and they just called it a crash. You know, or somehow the two jets crashed. You know, but yeah. I mean, in pursuit of something. Everybody else that was aware of what happened, they were definitely in pursuit of something. And, you know, and there's nobody ever heard of any debris or anything.
Really? You know, I didn't hear about that.
They're going, well, where did they crash? You know, where's the crash site? Where's the cleanup operation? You know, where's the rest of the story? And yeah. We had another one. We had two incidents here. We had another crash retrieval here just on the next mountain over. And it was a really small little town, and they went to the Grange and told people, hey, look, we had an incident, we're taking care of it, and the people have been moved out of the area, and you're not going to be able to go into this area for a little while, and we'll be gone in a couple of days, you know.
Wow.
And basically that was the end of that story, you know. But and then another one across the river, which a lot of people saw this ball come down, a fiery ball come down, and it actually created a forest fire. And
that happened recently in Nevada. Is that what you're talking about?
No, one happened here near Mosier, or above Hood River, actually. One happened here, but I guess another one just happened. Was it in Colorado where that happened, or Nevada?
Well, both, actually, but in Nevada, more recently on July 9th, or July 8th, actually, I actually got the police audio from an online audio place where you can get it. And, yeah, there's, like, people who saw what they thought was a plane crash, but all planes were accounted for. The officials won't tell anybody, you know, what they found. But, yeah, it started a fire. And in Colorado before that, we heard about, like, a meteor shower while they're trying to fight a forest fire in progress. Another, like, something fell from the sky and started another fire there in Colorado. So it's been happening a lot lately.
Really, yeah, we've had some events here. I mean, we're having, right now it's really clear. The skies are really clear and it's nice, but we just went through some thunderstorms. And what's really interesting, we were having black helicopters fly here. Now, the past two or three days, I got some excellent footage of these whisper, I don't know if they call them whisper something, but they're really quiet, and they're black, and they're flying around the area now a lot. And they were over on a mountain here. The Mount Adams right in front of me is definitely an underground base, and it's the benevolent ones, the positive ones are there. And then there's another mountain to the west of us, Flat Top Mountain, where I've seen some weird things happen in there. And a lot of people have seen some military up there. And there's all these power lines going up to it, you know, big power lines going up to the mountain. You know, you wonder what is going on up there. There's been a lot of sightings up there of strange crafts. So, but this massive lightning storm came over that area, and I've never seen so many lightning strikes in one place. It was just, it was relentless. And we were watching it for probably a half an hour straight of the lightning coming down in just that area, right on top of that area.
Yeah, something's weird with lightning lately, too. It's definitely more prevalent and more dangerous than I've ever heard of before. Like, lightning just going crazy. And all these stories about, like, in Michigan with the military and UFO stuff happening, and I don't know, all getting pretty weird.
Yeah, we had the same thing in Eel Valley when I was over in Hawaii. I did some lectures over there, and on Maui there's some crazy stuff going on where they have some areas that they're you know, all of a sudden they ran all these power lines up there and these huge solar array, and then and then the doesn't connect into the, you know, they put in this huge, not solar, but wind. It's a big wind array. And then, but the power's not going into the grid. It's going underground, you know, so.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. I was wondering about what's going on there. And I got, I had an experience where I gave a lecture there, and some people showed up there with weird gear in a paper bag with lights going off on. And then after I got hit by some really negative energy, heavy-duty energy, I was with a friend, Rich Romer, over there. And you know, I could feel where the energy was coming from. It was coming from that same area. It was weird. It's like they had my signature somehow or whatever. We're sending some energy. And next thing you know, I look across at that area and I see the same thing happen. This huge circular cloud goes over that area. And just one huge lightning bolt after another coming down on that same area. So it does seem to be, it seems to be there's some extremely advanced beings that know how to use natural forces or natural energy to take care of business.
Well, they just announced recently that our own government is trying to use lightning as a weapon. Or they just got that technology down or something. So I wouldn't be surprised if they're practicing it or something.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised either. You know, who knows? I have a feeling these were the more benevolent guys there that were taking care of business. But I know we have our toys too. You know, we have HARP, a lot of other toys that are being used to manipulate weather and the chemtrails and everything else.
Yeah.
But it's making quite a mess of the planet. But I think that was their intention in the beginning. What else is happening over there in your area? I've been trying to get back out there. I was thinking about connecting in with the MUFON out there. I was in Sedona, and they sponsored a talk there, and it was MUFON and another metaphysical group there together. It went really well at the St. Andrew's Church in MUFON, and then the Phoenix MUFON wanted me to do a talk there, and so I was working with them. And I don't know if you have it. Is there a MUFON in Tucson?
Not that I know of. I don't think so. I mean, there is. They never contacted me, and I have never, came across them. I'm not sure, but I definitely would check out the one in Phoenix, because I just don't think many people are into this in Tucson. I mean, I think I've looked, and there wasn't one, but I'll check.
Heard there's a pretty large metaphysical group there.
Oh, I'm sorry, what?
I heard there's a pretty large, alternative or metaphysical group there in Tucson. Is that, I don't know if that's true or not, but somebody was telling me.
Not so much as in Sedona, but yeah, there's some people like that. I mean, we have the gym show once a year, and there's a lot of interesting folks that come to the gym show, and they're definitely into all the metaphysical stuff, but it's nothing like Sedona. I love Sedona. That's a really cool place.
Yeah, I'm really feeling driven. I need to get back there. And there's a couple more local places like Eugene and Portland and Spokane and some of the Ashland. And I just talked to somebody about doing something in Ashland. So I'm getting guidance to kind of do a little local stuff and maybe go to Sedona one more time and then kind of hunker down, because it does seem like things are in the works here, and I don't know how safe traveling is going to be for, after.
Yeah, things are getting really crazy.
Yeah, it is interesting, because with the, with all the solar flares, I don't know what you've got Fukushima up there in the upper atmosphere and all the radiation from that, and then you've got the solar flares slamming you, and you've got pilots with Geiger counters, in the cockpit with them, that are retiring early because they know they're getting exposed to quite a lot of radiation. So I'm just wondering if it's a good idea to keep traveling a lot, between now and
maybe not. I mean, I think we can probably heal ourselves, or, we can heal ourselves of anything that's going on, I think. I like to hope anyway. But as far as danger of crazy people or accidents, that's something to worry about with your traveling right now, I think.
Yeah, I agree. It seems like a lot of the younger generation have a lot more ability to, they came in with a little more DNA activated, and their salamander gene is a little more activated than most and can handle a lot of this stuff that's that's coming in, because I see that over and over again. They don't even put any mind to it, and they get through a lot of the stuff. And some of the older generation is really getting hit hard, you know, and a lot of people checking out because of the, you know, some of the environmental things happening and the excessive heat and grids going down and all this other stuff that seems to be, you know, happening on a regular basis.
Yeah, I guess we're like evolving, evolution.
Yeah. Yeah, we need to.
Yeah, I'll say.
It seems like, you know what, it seems to me like, you know, when I look at what's going on many different levels, you know, the society we live in is just so corrupt. I mean, I've been really dealing with the legal system over and over again, and I'm seeing that just, you know, when you go into the depths of that, seeing how corrupt that is, and then you look at the banking program, you know, and how corrupt that is, and the whole political arena there, what a mess that is. It just seems like it's all coming to a head right now, and this system that we presently have, it's going to either have to do a massive shift, you know, or a change, or it's just going to collapse, and we're going to have to start over and create something new.
It's going to be one or the two. I mean, everything's like, it's corrupt. All the people in charge are, you know, pretty much doing the opposite of what they're supposed to be doing, and all we have is like each other as people, and that's all we're going to have when the shift comes or when everything breaks down. We, you know, we all have each other, but we don't have these people in charge to count on, because they're all frauds, a lot of them, like, overall.
Yeah, it is sad. You know, I was thinking, what do you think about disclosure? You know, and people bugging the president to come out and disclose.
Disclosure, you mean like with aliens?
Yeah. Well, like any kind of, you know, where they're trying to push the government to come clean and
I know. I never thought that. It's like begging the government to lie to you or something. I don't know. It's like even if they've disclosed anything, it's going to be their version of what they want to tell you.
Yeah,
I mean, I don't care about disclosure, honestly, because we already know.
That's what I just said. It already happened. You know, it's like disclosure happened back in the beginning of time when they colonized the planet. You know, so
yeah.
But it doesn't. To me, it just seems. I mean, I think people need to be educated and informed, and that's what a lot of these groups are doing. They're informing the people. But as far as demanding that they, you know, basically, if you demand a government that has lied to you over and over repeatedly or twisted the truth to...
Yeah, why would you suddenly believe them on aliens, you know?
Yeah, why would you expect them to do anything else other than the obvious of what they've been doing all along?
Exactly. It doesn't make sense to me. I mean, it's just something people say. I mean, I get where their heart is at. They want people, everybody to know about it, everybody to believe in it and be okay with it, but the government telling us is not going to solve anything. So we would all be suspicious of anything that comes out of their mouth anyway. So
yeah, probably what inspired you to do the YouTube channels, you know, to get the truth out there. I think the internet's about the only way now. It's the avenue left. All the mainstream press has been taken over. The you know, radio shows like these, a lot are getting the information out. But even some of the new age, I've seen some of the biggest new age radio shows being extremely compromised now.
Which shows?
Well, you know, one of the biggest ones, I don't want to mention names, I'll probably get in trouble, but you know what? I just see people, you know, bringing on, you know, spokesmen for the CIA, you know, saying, hey, we're just a bunch of good, wholesome people, you know, protecting America. And, yeah, we have to lie and steal sometimes. You know, that's our job. And, yeah, we, you know, we have to torture now and then and kill a few people and things like that. But we're just a bunch of good, zany old boys, you know. And I just, when I was listening to this whole story, I go, God, when are you going to ask the big question, you know, like, you know, and, oh, 911 would never have anything to do with that. Oh, if we suspected something was not right, we would be all over.
Right.
Yeah, I just go, my God, you know, I can't believe this guy has, you know, prime time. Then you see people like Seth Shustak, you know, with SETI. Oh, no, there's no UFOs out there. We're still using our radio receivers to try to find life, you know, and there's no evidence and no no photographic or video evidence. All of it's just ambiguous. There's nothing out there. And
they ignore all the evidence. That's the annoying part.
What's that?
They all seem to kind of like ignore the evidence when we do find any.
Yeah.
So
I wonder if this guy lives in a shoebox or something, you know, because sightings all around the world on a huge scale, and there's hundreds of ships, you know, in Mexico being sighted, you know, whole flotillas by very reputable people or who've got their cameras. It's on the front page news in Mexico and other South American countries. But here, you're never going to see it. It's just like totally hushed up.
I know. What do you think about that UFO show, UFO Hunters or UFO Chasing UFOs?
Is that the new
Did
one?
You watch
with
that?
That James. And, you know, there's. I heard him in an interview, and he was saying the same thing. You know, I'm waiting for the evidence to see the evidence, and he's been given the evidence again. So I'm just wondering. You know, I know these people. They've been to the ranch. You know, he hasn't been to the ranch, but I've talked to him. I've sent him evidence, invited him to come out. A lot of other people, you know, have come out here. People in the know that everybody knows, and then they go back out and they said, well, we're still waiting for some evidence. And I go, well, you know, we did an intention experiment with over 200 people. The ships came and appeared with multiple PhD Boeing engineers and Lockheed engineers and biophysicists and all these other people present who filmed it themselves. And they came right on schedule right after the intention experiment. So you got 200 witnesses, you got the film, and the ships coming in, and then on Paranormal State, we told them exactly when the ships would appear and where, and they had their cameras rolling, and they appeared. And you look at this over and over, this is happening redundantly. It happened with ABC, and Fox has covered it. Fox News has covered it. Even Hannity covered the
Yeah, they all regurgitate the same stuff over and over again. They don't really, like, pay enough attention to what they should be paying attention to. They just revisit the same thing.
But, you know, I wonder, everybody goes, well, when, you know, this program, when are they going to make contact? You know, when are they going to, I go, it's been happening for 25 years over here at ESETI. When are you going to the evidence, you know, and acknowledge it? And that's the game that I watch happening over and over again, even though there's been multiple thousands of witnesses here that have seen the ships, filmed them themselves, had their own experiences. They keep acting as this place doesn't exist. Even the major the UFO community, the people that put on the big conferences, like, we don't exist. It's like we're like
I know, it's so annoying. Like, they don't care about any new, you know, evidence, and you guys are obviously still putting stuff out. They just want to go over the Phoenix Lights, and they want to go over Roswell, and like,
yeah,
that stuff is over. That stuff happened a long time ago.
Well, that's the game, you know, and once you understand the game is to keep everybody's heads cranked back into the past, you know, with Barney Hill. And
yeah, so they can keep writing books about the same thing over and over again and make money.
Yeah.
The
other game is to keep it far away or keep it in the future.
Yeah.
You know, like Billy Bob was feeding his pigs and he fell off the fence when he saw a UFO, you know, fly over the two mountains away. You know, that stuff they'll talk about. Or they'll have some experts saying, well, I think they're going to make contact in 2050 or something.
That's right.
Like that. You know? And
exactly,
and those
what
are the
is
ones,
happening right now.
Yeah, yeah. Those are the ones that get the pulpit. You know, they get all the mainstream news and they're on the news and they're given all these stories. But the game is keep it far away, keep it in the past, or keep it way out in the future for some future event. But they're so afraid to realize that, hey, it's happening now. It's been ongoing. In this area, it's been ongoing for 100 years. There's been contacts happening here, going back to Kenneth Arnold, where he lost sight of the ships when they landed on the western slopes of Mount Adams. I think that was in 47 or something like that. But the Native Americans have been having contact hundreds of years before that and have talked about it, the star nations and the beings that are going in and out of the mountain. So, you know, this is Dr. Jan Hynek actually did investigations here in the area, you know, and there's Greg Long wrote books, you know, about it. So there's all kinds of books and evidence here. It's ongoing, but even some of
the
UFO.
Are you going to be on Coast to Coast?
Talk about it. Again? I'm sorry, what was that?
Are you going to be on Coast to Coast AM again anytime soon?
I doubt it very much. It seems to be I'm like on the bad list or something with these guys, but yeah.
Really?
Yeah, it's kind of weird. Something strange happened there. I don't want to go into heavy, but it was kind of weird. They had me scheduled to go on, and then I put the information out over my list to tell people I was going to go on, and then they just never called me. And I go, what's up? You know, I was ready to go. I put it out over my list to let everybody know I was going to go on Coast to Coast. They never called me. And then they finally called me a few days later, because somebody said, what's up? You know, why did you cut him off and why didn't you bring him on the list? And somebody wrote an article, a couple people wrote an article about it, like, you know, censored. He said he censored, which I didn't even know about. And so they got all angry at me about that. And I said, hey, look, I have no control over that. You know, I was scheduled to be on the show. I was there. The phone never rang. You know, I said, and I sent it out to the let people know, and I said I have no control about what people create out of that. You know, that's not my thing. And so because of that, you know, I've never been asked to come back on. And then I even challenged it. I said, well, wait a second, where's the integrity here? You set it up, you know, you set up the date, you know, up to hours before the show, it was a go, it was on, you know, Yeah, I said, I did my part, you know, and I was just left hanging. So why is this a problem?
I don't even listen to them very often anymore anyway, because they also just have the same guests on, like, you know, people just talking about old stuff.
Yeah.
Or, you know, which is not really interesting anyway.
Bring people on here and bring in new information, and that's one of the things we really try to focus on as much as possible. And, you know, keep up with latest breaking news and sightings and things of that nature, but it does seem to be a rehash there. It's kind of sad. I hate to say it, but I liked it a lot better when Art was there.
When Art Bell?
Yeah.
Yeah, me too. I mean, he was a lot cooler. He was a lot more real, and he wasn't, you know, just trying to please everybody. Kind of like George Norrie is too nice and too boring. I liked Art Bell a lot.
Yeah, Art would challenge, you know, Art, when I did an interview with Art, it was amazing. And he said, hey, wait, and, you know, goes, you know, he said, this guy has the data. He's got the people backing him. He's got PhD people. And right in the middle of the show, when he was interviewing me, you could hear everybody screaming out in the field. And he goes, what was that? And I go, a huge ship just appeared. He goes, well, can you bring people on? And I said, I think so. And I went out to the field, and here's this triple PhD Boeing engineer and a Lockheed Skunk Works guy, and they go on the show and testify right there on the spot.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't understand why on earth that they would, you know, and everybody keeps asking me that, why don't you go on Coast to Coast? Why don't you do? And I go, you know what? You need to ask Coast to Coast. That's what I tell people. You need to ask them why.
Well, I guess they sold out and just went the way of mainstream media for now.
Yeah, I don't understand why they give people like Seth Shustak and some of these other people airtime over and over again, and when they don't when they don't bring out things that are happening now and the people on the cutting edge. But they have a new host on there, John something. I can't remember his last name. He has a real deep voice. And
it sounds kind of fake, how deep the voice is.
Very deep, yeah. And he's bringing in the heavy hitters, and he's bringing in the people that are just laying it down, you know, which is great. Yeah. So I really admire him because he doesn't pull any punches, you know, and he brings in the people that are just laying it out, that have the evidence, and, you know, especially
he's better. I like him better than Ian.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think I'd do another interview with Ian. You know, the one I did with Ian was probably one of the worst interviews I've ever done in my life.
He doesn't really care about paranormal stuff, to be honest. I don't think. I think he cares more about sports than aliens.
He's making fun of everything all the way through, and I just kind of tolerated it. But, you know, it was getting really old. But anyway, it looks like we're coming up to the end of the hour. I don't know if you want to have people contact you or just go to your YouTube channel. And connect with some of the information printout. What's the best way for them to do so?
That would be on my YouTube channel, youtube.com/SheilaAlien, or my website is SheilaAlien.net. There's a contact form there where they can get my email, or they can message me on YouTube or comment on my channel or whatever.
Great. And, you know, I can't thank you enough for coming on the show, and keep up the good work. And I hope this inspires you to go forward and you know, keep getting that information out, because, you know, a lot of us are, you know, I pick up information from you and put it over my sites as well. And I don't have time.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, I don't have to scour the net, find out all the latest breaking things, you know. So anyway, keep up the great work, and thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right. Well, have a good day, and keep watching the skies.
I will. You too.
All right. Good night. Well, we're coming up to the end of the hour here, folks. And the second hour, we've got Jason Verbelli coming up. Amazing, gifted young man, looking into all the latest free energy and the old free energy technology. So stay tuned for the second hour. Hopefully we can get this load it up real soon. Greetings, this is James Gillen, and I'm your host. We've got some amazing information coming in right now. I hope everybody's doing okay with these X-class and M-class flares that are just hitting us on a daily basis. We just had another double whammy, I think an M7.7 as we're doing this broadcast. And another one right behind it. So, you know, and these are following the X-class flare that just nailed us. So just a heads up out there, these energy waves going through are going to make people kind of lethargic. Sometimes they'll excite you into anger and emotional trauma and outbursts. And it make you really lazy, just get real sleepy. And other times you're just kind of agitated. So these are the highs and lows of these waves as they go through. And, you know, just pay attention. You know, in Stanford Research, as I said before, they exposed monkeys to fluctuations in the magnetic fields, and they exhibited behavior from comatose to self-mutilation, but we don't have to act like monkeys now, do we? So anyway, when you know what's going on and you know it's a phase and it's a wave going through, you just have to ride it out, get control over your emotions, and your process, and just allow the process to go through. But that being said, we've got a great guest. We've got Jason Verbelli, and he was one of the speakers here at the Global Transformation Conference, and great talk. Everybody loved it, and he's doing some very noble work in there in sponsoring and helping all these other major researchers of old and new get their information out, bringing out the fuelless energy technologies and other earth-friendly technologies, helping us all to get off the grid and clean up this planet. So with any further ado, I want to welcome Jason Verbelli on the show. Jason, are you with us?
Yes, sir. Thank you so much for having me. And again, thank all the listeners for giving me some time and the information consideration.
Mm-hmm. You know, some of the researchers that are scientists that you've worked with, You know, according to what I've seen in my own research, we've had like fuelless energy technology since what, probably the 20s.
Well, from my studies, it might even be later than that. In the late 1800s, a man named John Keeley was working on cavitation, working with high frequencies and alternating pressures, and turning motors with his acoustics. And we had Nikola Tesla in the early 1900s, of course, and his birthday was July 10th. Got to give it up to Tesla.
Yeah.
There's lots of people way back in the day that were achieving amazing things, like Thomas Henry Moray, and just so many people that for over 100 years seem to have solved issues for themselves and have tried to convey their perspectives to the world and show their experiments. And that's what I try to focus on, are those brilliant minds that the mainstream scientific community either does not promote or has forgotten altogether. So that's my focus, is the really cool stuff or the up-and-coming sciences, to try to get people enthused and to show the younger generations how amazing this stuff really is. And the fact that these major corporations might not necessarily have access to this technology yet because they don't know about it, because they're too busy fiddling with nukes or whatever projects that they're involved with, the billion-dollar facilities. You know, they don't know about these new magnets. They don't know about these radiation conversion technologies and stuff that can change the quality of the water. So it's just a matter of trying to focus on stuff that that isn't promoted on in libraries or in universities, and to just help yourself and try to save yourself. And you opened the show with, you know, monkeys being thrown in the wrench with all the electronics before we started recording, started talking about the sun and all of the stuff going haywire nowadays, and talking about these monkeys in the wrench. But people are, you know, there's that expression, the 100th monkey. We got our friend Tom with 100th Monkey Radio.
And Ramon, yeah.
Yeah, but
Cheech and Chong.
I love those guys, man. They're great.
Well, I mean, they're funny. You can just feel the energy coming over the show, you know. And, you know, they have great guests and do a really good job. I say that endearingly when I say Cheech and Chong, but it's quite a duo there. They bring a lot of humor into what's going on.
Well, they know what they're doing. I mean, they have very experienced, very wonderful people giving me opportunities too. So, but bring up the 100th monkey, because a lot of people, I think, are waiting for that 100th monkey. You know, we're at that critical mass. We're at that point where things are about to overflow or about to – it's crunch time. And you know, it's 99 monkeys already present, but we're waiting for that 100th. And
yeah.
I think what's going to happen is it's not going to be a 100th monkey that's going to make the world change, but it's the 99 monkeys that are already in existence that work together. And when they move as one, that will be that 100th monkey. And then when everybody's working together in unity, that will be the time that things change. Not just waiting for a savior, but when we take it upon ourselves to work together, that will be a collective effort. And that will be that that last break in the chain.
Yeah, they're always waiting for some monkey on a really high level, like the White House, that's going to, you know, bring out disclosure and bring out the fuelless energy and bring out all these things we need to turn the planet around. And you know, you might as well just go to the zoo for that one.
Yeah.
You know, it's not going to happen.
lots of people that I know, and I surround myself with others that are really enthusiastic, and they take it upon themselves to check out what's new and just try and just build. And I know a lot of amazing people that have changed their perspectives, and really the defeatist attitude, you know, like the major corporations won't let these technologies out, or if somebody works on these things, they're automatically going to get taken out because, you know, the oil companies won't let us. Well, you know, all that attitude really died back in the 20th century.
Yeah.
You know, this is 21st century now, and all I see are people focusing on really positive things and solutions. And I just want to let that be known, is that the attitude seems to have changed altogether. There are very few people around nowadays that are disagreeing with a lot of the things that can be done. And everybody is agreeing that, you know, things can be changed and we have to focus on better methods and not necessarily the nukes and what we're doing today. So,
yeah, I noticed from my experience anyway, about 12 years ago, I was working with a biophysicist that had both anti-gravity, counter-gravity, phenomenal fuelless energy technology, crazy stuff. And it was just that short time ago. And one guy we know working on the projects was killed. I mean, Stanley Meyer got offed. And this guy had his lab blown up and life-threatening. And, you know, I was involved with him through all this whole process. I had some threats thrown at me as well.
Whoa.
But it does seem to have been taken a new event. And the people that are working on the water technologies, I've listened to a lot of them, and they said that if you stay at 50-50, you know, if you're burning 50% gas or diesel and 50% water, that they'll leave you alone. They're not going to do anything. But as soon as you go over that 50% mark, then they have an issue with it. And then you may not ever see them, but your whole life is going to go to hell, you know. So through the agencies, you know, they'd pull all kinds of stunts. But that seems to be abating and releasing. And I think they can't stay on top of it. There's just too many people like you doing the research and bringing this information out. And eventually it's going to take a few devices to just get blown out on the internet, you know, and it's going to be out there. They're going to let the cat out of the bag.
Well, and that fact, and also I don't think our younger generations want to inherit and continue their crap.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to really want to continue with oil when, you know, they're looking over here and they can see, wow, look at all these solutions and look at all this money to be made. They're saying that, you know, they're making all this money off of oil and whatever they're doing, but there's exponentially more to be made and more benefit in any one of these technologies. So the issue that they're making money doesn't really cut it anymore, because you'd make more with these new technologies. And, you know, and eventually it would make these people obsolete.
Yeah, I agree. You know, there's a kid here in Tigard, Oregon, and I think he was 12 years old, this kid, and he came up with this nanotechnology for a solar cell, and it was 500% more efficient than a regular, you know, solar panel, you might say. And all of a sudden, I tried to get this guy on the air and interview him, and all of a sudden, it just got hushed up. You know, we sent letters. We couldn't talk to him, and he got a big they gave him a grant, I guess, for educational grant of, you know, a huge amount of money, I guess, to further his education, and he had to sign a non-disclosure clause where he was going to put this on the shelf.
Yep.
and disappeared off the face of the earth, and to me, it's like that would have been the solution right there. That's just one solution, but it was a solution that was right there. We had it, and it was very simple, very easy to manufacture.
There's another guy, one of my friends, and he, one of my very good friends, he knew this man who was developing, again, solar panel technology. Sounds similar to the situation you just mentioned. This guy developed something about being able to couple solar panels together, but even if they're in the shade, they'd still get like 90 to 95% efficiency. So, like if a normal solar panel, if one part of it is in the shade, then you're only going to get the maximum of whatever part is in the shade. It's like developed, this was like 10 years ago. This guy developed something so that, you know, every panel can be independent of the sun and shine or whatever, and just gave you lots of more efficiency. He also came up with something that you, I don't know what it did, but it made the meter spin the other way and started generating power from within the meter.
Wow.
And that technology, he called the electric company and said, hey, guys, come on over and take a look at this. And he showed him everything, showed him the patent, and then he was getting ready to get a grant. And then he just fell off, and nobody ever really heard about him again. Either he signed the NDA, that non-disclosure, mm-hmm. or they just seized his patent, or I don't know what happened, but that was the last anybody heard from that dude.
You know, the a lot of the people don't realize that, you know, your thermostats and things of that nature, a lot of those things, you know, the old thermostats, I'd go, well, what's turning the switch on and off? How's this working? You know, trying to figure it out. And they're just getting energy from a wire. And it was enough to turn the switch on and off and regulate the heat and things like that. But, you know, you think about that. Well, if somebody's doing that back, you know, in the day, you know, way back in the day, like, why not wrap a little bit more wire around, you know? And I've seen on the internet where they had these plans, and I downloaded some where if you had a quarter mile of fencing, you could just wrap this copper wire around that fence, and you put kind of, I don't know how you do it, but you put a capacitor on it and something else, and it'll generate all the electricity you need.
I've heard something about that, and actually there's a couple of people who I heard that were working with some coils and then connecting it to a fence, and same thing, getting a type of resonance in the fence, and then I'm not sure what happened after that, but I do know of tests where people were hooking up coils or their devices to fences and being able to generate like large antenna fields or even help plant growth, connecting it to the wire fence or where vines are attaching or even spikes in the ground and you send an electric charge. There are certain ways to make plants grow, increase yields, and get rid of pests, all sorts of stuff. It's called electroculturing. Mm-hmm. And I have a lot of information on that in the description section of my videos. I try to include a lot of links so people can see the information in context. And that's one of my favorite things is trying to see how we can benefit plants and get better nutrients and see what we can do plant-wise, growing food, because that's obviously an extremely important part of life is the water, the food, shelter, and information.
Yeah.
We have a right to those four things.
Well, I thought it was quite interesting. This guy had all these copper wires, small copper wires, and he was growing things in his basement. And he ran all these copper wires from outside. They were sitting in the sun, and I don't know what he had them attached to. I don't think it was a solar cell or anything. They were just out in the sun and rolled up. And then they came down into the basement, and he had a wire going right down into the roots, basically, of the plant, into the soil. And with no light whatsoever, he was growing phenomenal plants.
I think that's Thomas G. Hieronymus. Uh-huh. And he called that energy eloptic energy. Wilhelm Reich called it orgone. Tesla called it ether. There's a lot of Chinese called it qi. There's just a lot of different names for this type of energy. But that guy, indeed, he grew plants in complete darkness in his basement. And from what I understand, the experiment called for having thin copper plates on your roof acting as solar panels. So the copper is getting the vibrations from the sun.
Yeah.
And then he has wires going down from those panels into his basement. Then he has another like copper plate underneath the dirt in the planter box. Mm-hmm. And he has another plate on top of the planter box. And then the resonance from those two plates somehow makes the plants grow, which begs the question, do plants really need light or do plants need the vibration?
Yeah, the energy, yeah. Yeah, it's quite interesting. I mean, there are so many things out there. I wonder why we aren't using them in hydroponics and things of that nature. That, you know, it seems pretty easy. If you're doing hydroponics, you could run a copper plate on the bottom, you know, of your dish or whatever, and then one on the top, and then run the water through the nutrients at the same time. And if you swirled it, you know, the water, if you created a vortex energy, or there's different ways of swirling the water that charges it, boy, you'd have some supercharged food coming out of there.
That's that's another thing is some people on Facebook have contacted recently and said when they have their plants next to their dryer or next to their washing machine or next to a spinning machine, the plants seem to thrive more in that location. I was originally asking, well, maybe it was the heat from the vent coming out of the dryer tube or something. And the guys are saying, no, they're thinking it's just the spinning fields being created from a machine just spinning, and something will flourish around that.
I wouldn't be surprised at all. You know, it seems like whenever you get a spinning field, you have some energy going off, or it creates some kind of energy. The whirling dervishes definitely, you know, create some energy. And I know there's practices, you know, other practices that you can use to. I know when I do initiations and meditation work, I'll actually spin the energy in the room, and everybody has a huge awakening when that happens. They have more access to the higher realms, you might say.
Some people are more sensitive to that than others, but there's so much validity and science to it that people might consider esoteric. But it's magnetic energy or electric energy, whatever you want to call it. There is some stuff going on there, and it's documentable and verifiable. But it just has to be given some consideration first. You have to see it in a professional setting, which people do. And there are universities also that study these phenomena.
You know, I've had staunch scientists, you know, they've just been so programmed with the recycled ignorance they teach in school, you know, come up to the ranch, and they don't believe in any of this stuff, you know, and the UFOs or the orbs or free energy or anything, you know, they think they have it all down. And I'm sitting there talking to them, you know, and their battery will be dead, you know, in their camera. And I said, well, give me your battery and I'll hold it just for a minute or so and give it back to them, and it's fully charged. And it really freaks them out. It's like now they have a physical, tangible thing in their hand that they can't wrap their head around, and it doesn't fit within their physics or their belief system, you know. So I think if we get more things like that, you know, and also just have some little small devices that show the science behind this, a working model like a toy, and take it around and say, here it is, you know, it's spinning by itself, it's generating, you know, torque, force, whatever. I think that would be an amazing way of getting this information across.
Yeah, and studying people like Ed Leedskalnin and Castle. That's a major part of it.
Yeah.
Because that man had some serious clues. And I've been focusing on his stuff for the last month a lot more intensely than I had been, because I've been starting to build his models. And I've read over his papers in the past, but I hadn't really gotten to his experiments. I had been studying the man and trying to figure out how he got his information. Didn't really solve that one. It's the most mysterious guy, at least.
Yeah.
But just looking at the work that he provided and then trying to do the experiments for myself, now I'm starting to see even more and how it correlates with all the other stuff that I've been studying, Walter Russell and just these brilliant, brilliant people that aren't promoted. So
yeah, was it Schauberger? I'm trying to remember. Was it Walter Russell or Schauberger? I can't remember which one that had those spinning – plates. He put them inside
That was Schauberger.
Yeah, ceramic. He had them inside these ceramic pots or whatever, and he had this metal plate, and it had the Fibonacci scale on there or something. I don't know. And it had all these little cuts in it. And God, I was watching that thing run, and I go, my God, that thing is cranking, you know? And it's got some torque to it and everything else. I would love to get my hands on one of those, you know, one of those generators.
We can, if you have the 3D CAD, if you have the graphic for it on the computer, you can 3D print those parts in metal. Or you can try to duplicate it yourself, but I think the easiest way might be to just get the graphic, send that to a 3D printer, mm-hmm. at which point they will turn that image into a real object, and it will be a working model. So right. It would just be piece by piece, but that's one way to rebuild that.
Just by getting the pictures. I know the one guy that worked with them, he's a German guy. He didn't speak English very well. But I watched his one of his videos, and he still had the devices. And
yeah, that's the last apprentice of Victor Schauberger.
Uh-huh.
As an old guy, and he has on display all of those pieces of that Repulsine and that uh-huh. implosion device. And he shows it in the video. I have that uploaded on my channel too, so people can see that type of information.
Yeah.
Now there's another guy named Jay Harmon, and he has something called the PAX Impeller, PAX.
Mm-hmm.
And it's called the Lily Impeller, and it's just a beautiful type of impeller. It looks like a lily flower, or like a Fibonacci spiral. Normal propellers are like, you know, like a helicopter blade or like a fan blade from a ceiling fan.
Yeah. Well,
this guy's has the third dimension accounted for. It looks like a cone, like a conch shell. And when you spin this in the water, it can move like 30 million pounds of water with just like 500 watts or some ridiculous small amount of energy.
Mm-hmm.
And cycle these huge industrial sized tanks with these technologies. So you can combine that with with electric generators, have a hydroelectric turbine based on these new 3D type of impellers rather than 2D propellers just spinning on one plane.
Mm-hmm.
I saw this really cool picture just a couple days ago. Somebody circulating that on Facebook. You know those two, that little vortex experiment these kids used to do, probably still do. You take a 2-liter bottle, and then you take another 2-liter bottle, and you face them mouth to mouth, and then you fill one with water, and you turn it upside down like an hourglass. It makes a vortex.
Mm-hmm.
Well, somebody figured out to put a little turbine in the center of those two 2-liter bottles. So as the water starts vortexing into the other bottle, it spins this little turbine and lights an LED light.
Mm-hmm.
So you could just turn this thing over, and as the water spins and drains down, it's spinning something and generating light. So depending on how big the tank is, if you have a 5-gallon drum, you know, you might give you like 3 minutes of light. But just the weight of the water spins that turbine. So if you use that in an industrial generator, you'd be at least powering the damn place itself.
Yeah, if you got a 50-gallon drum, two of them, right, and then put the thing in between them and had it on a wheel or something, that would be easy.
You just need to have a tank big enough to swirl and then generate enough power to power a water pump
mm-hmm.
that can send the water back up to the top.
Yeah,
but it doesn't need to be a constant flow. It could just be in pulses,
mm-hmm.
like that. Reservoir that fills, and then it dumps to the top. Reservoir that fills, dumps to the top. So anything that's in a pulse is beneficial than a constant flow. So I'm just saying you can combine these ideas to generate power, and there's things that we can do now to manufacture these things, and ideas that we can try that just might not have been tried yet.
Mm-hmm.
Simple ideas, or these new types of magnets even. You can do the same ideas that everybody's already done, but with these new magnets, and they might give us more benefit.
Yeah, I've got a well. I actually witched this well and hit the mother load. I mean, I hit an underground river, and it'll take as much water as we can pump out of it, basically. It's as big as the pump is, you know, it'll stay full. But I have a pretty good-sized pump down there in the well, and I was trying to figure out any way I could just run that pump. If I could run that pump, I would be set here, you know, and you know, that would provide all of our gardening and water needs and everything else from that point. And then another unit, you know, on the house and heck, you know, You've got your water covered, you got your power covered. What else is there? You know, it's like grow
Well,
your food.
you'd need to have a, you'd have to have that well above ground, like a water tank.
Yeah.
Have to be like a stylo-sized tank. Weight of that water, you'd have to have a different setup than what you have now, but it can be done.
Yeah.
You have that water spinning in a vortex in the right way in that tank. I'm thinking that the weight of that water can generate power through a turbine enough to at least power the water pump so it can recirculate back into itself.
Yeah, that would be interesting. I wonder, so it'd have to be over unity or over whatever it takes to pump the water up. It'd have to have more energy as it goes down.
That would, yeah, that's why you do it in pulses. Like you just have a reservoir and then you flush it and then it goes up. And you have to use just pressures. And there's just things we can try out. I have lots of things written down on that, but it's hard to describe on the air unless you have designs and things to look at in context. Oh, okay, that's what he means.
Exactly.
It's crazy talk.
Yeah, I understand what you're talking about. It does make sense putting a little turbine. Anytime you have water flowing through a turbine, you're going to be generating, power basically. So that's a pretty simple concept people could get. I know they have these wonderful turbines. I can't remember the name. They just throw them in the river, and they generate all kinds of energy. But you have to get permission from the state, to do something like that, and that's next to impossible to get them to let you do anything anymore.
Oh, that's amazing. Yeah. So you have to get permission from the state to dam up a little creek or divert some water. Yet from what I understand, like South America or something, they're going to, they've been trying to dam up some major body of water, which would put out of homes like 50,000 people, just flooding the whole forest area. Like, but we do not need to be doing this. There are methods, and we don't need to be destroying things like that. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, I think these rivers also are like currents. They're energy currents too, and when you block them, the water gets all stagnant and screwed up and everything else. It's like everywhere you look at it, it's bad news. It's even for the planet. It's like energy lines that get blocked on the planet.
This planet is a living thing. Rivers and stuff and oil and whatever and any liquids and flow within the earth, natural flow, is like the life's blood of the earth. And when you clog it up, it's like getting a blood clot, a brain or whatever, and it's all bad. And the more that you do that in the world, the more that you're diverting natural flows and you're going to alter weather patterns and the small scale at which we live, we might not notice that because we do it so slowly over the course of time. Oh, one dam here, and then another over here, then another over here. But cumulatively, we are screwing up weather patterns and we're doing some nasty stuff to the wildlife and ourselves in the process.
Yeah, it's like the frog in the pot, it doesn't, it's boiling, it doesn't know it's boiling until it's boiled, and that's basically what we've been doing. I know my feeling is like all of this stuff that's deep within the earth, like uranium and oil and all these things, there's a reason they're deep in the earth and they need to stay there, because when you bring them up to the surface, look what they do. I mean, they just wreak havoc on the surface. And they're providing a function, and they're down there for a reason. And maybe we should start looking more towards, the zero point, or even solar to get our needs, or even water,
Uranium and all that stuff down in the earth isn't even harmful. It's when man mines it, compresses it together, concentrates it, and then, it's a rock of your refined uranium does not exist down in the earth. You get like tiny particles throughout a lots of rocks, and then it takes man to concentrate it together, and then they bring it up here, and it makes it dangerous. Down in the earth, it's distributed correctly and naturally, so it's fine. It's like, it's just Walter Russell had this book called Atomic Suicide, dealt with these things. You're talking about like the frog in the pot. Well, there's also another analogy of crabs in a pot. If you have one crab in a bucket, it will crawl out easily. If you have two or more crabs in the bucket, when one of them tries to crawl out, the other ones will grab its legs and pull it back in.
Uh-huh.
So if one person is trying to achieve something, you have all these other people going, no. And just before somebody's going to release one of these technologies, somebody else yanks them down or seizes the patent or somebody keeps holding somebody else down. They're hating. That's it.
Yeah, it's getting pretty insane. But I think to me there are so many people doing this in their garages, their own little labs. There's so many devices out there. I've talked to so many people. They're just about ready to bust open, and I know they're running. I know people that are up to 85% water, as far as running engines, you know, regular engines on them. And they said they're very close. They're going to have 100%. Very soon, and Stanley Meyer had it at 100%, but he kind of they took care of him, and you know, right after he gave a talk to the military industrial complex, you know, he was off right after that.
Man, Pentagon was really interested in that too, and they even have a news report saying so.
Yeah, a
news report from the 80s or the early 90s or something. It's the Stan Myers in his water car, and the Pentagon is really interested in this. Yeah, I bet.
Mm-hmm.
Run their tanks and their water-powered rockets or whatever screwed-up technology they want to weaponize.
Yeah.
Thing in life is a tool. You can use a pillow to sleep on, or you could smother someone to death with it. You could use water to, you know, power your homes and cars, or you can weaponize it. You know, you can – everything's a tool, and it's up to the intention of the user of how we utilize those tools. The people in power that have been using these things so far have either not been using it properly or they have put it on a shelf. So
yeah.
We need these things for ourselves. Just do things with good intentions and work with the right people and try. That's pretty much it. Come on.
Yeah.
And just fund these people who can claim that they have the solutions. Somebody has a good enough claim and reasonable doubt for mainstream models, and a reasonable assumption that their method might work, well, then give them the means to prove it or disprove it.
You know, well, I'll tell you what I've noticed. Now, many of these in the mainstream, it's the same thing in the UFO community. The major UFO communities are so infiltrated. And you look at the people on the board. You know, you look at MUFON, which is actually started by the alphabet agencies. You know, all of these things that when you get up at the top, they're so infiltrated, and people are going to these people for validation of their technology or their experience or things like that. And it really isn't going to happen that way. Everybody thinks if I go to the top and they accept me, then this is going to happen. But I think it's going to happen if people just ignore the top, stop seeking approval or acceptance or whatever from the top and start just getting on with their own projects and make it happen, you know, and doing it on a mass scale. That's when it's going to happen.
I mean, a lot of this in my intensity and passion for this information started when I was trying to convey John Searle's technology, trying to get that information to others to take a look at and compare it to mainstream models or and get this man some resources.
Mm-hmm.
And so when his DVD came out, I was actually one of the first people to get the DVD. So I had been waiting for it to come out. I was really excited, and I saw it. As soon as I watched it, so impressed, I immediately got 10 more.
Yeah.
Then gave those DVDs to the most influential and smartest people that I knew. I went back to my college, and I went to the philosophy department, psychology and physics department, gave them copies. I went to random like energy conventions, like this guy who knew a lot about solar panels. I was like, here, if you'll watch this, I'll give it to you for free, but just give it to somebody else when you're done watching it.
Mm-hmm.
I just went around to all the smartest and most influential people I knew. And it turns out they weren't as smart and influential as I originally anticipated. Very it was disconcerting and depressing for quite a while. So I had to find new heroes, and I had to find new people to look up to, because these people weren't cutting it.
Yeah, the further you go up the top, it just seems the darker and more corrupt, or they want to just maintain the status quo. They don't want to rock the boat. You know, they've got tenure. You know, they have their jobs. You know, they don't want to risk anything, and they just want to keep that check coming in and live a happy life. And unfortunately, that's just the way it is out there. I know, back in the early 90s, I took this technology from a German physicist and showed these free energy devices running, you know, counter gravity devices, you know, a flying car motor, all these things. I showed these devices running, and some of them we took these power strips and kept plugging everything we could into this to try to kill this little device, and we couldn't. We couldn't stop it. And, you know, we had Walter Rosenthal, who's a NASA rocket scientist, all these other people on board, you know, checking things out. Nothing happened. I was so surprised. I go, boy, this is going to blow the lid off this. This is back in 92. This is going to, like, this.
Come on, 92?
What's that?
Dang, that's just.
Yeah.
When I hear about these things, oh, yeah, this was back in the 60s. This was back in the.
Yeah, it was like sheep, like blind sheep or something, you know? It's like, wow, you know, you guys just saw something. You saw something that would totally turn this planet around. You know, it'd free up, you know, we wouldn't be all tied up through manufactured lack and slave through dependency like these other big companies are trying to keep us going. You know, this would be an evolutionary, you know, huge jump, you know, to get this stuff out. And, you know, it's just like nothing happened. And actually something did happen. But it wasn't good. all we got was a huge negative backlash, you know, from doing that. There wasn't anything positive that came out of it. And I thought that was pretty sad, you know, to bring out that information. And then, and actually, you know, I wasn't asked to come back again.
Oh, man.
You know, to the conference. I thought, you know, I gave one more talk there, and then, you know, it just got really crazy. But,
I mean, this, like I was saying, this is not a movie, but people are acting like the information is a movie. When people go to a movie, you know, it entertains you for a couple hours, and then you go about your day. Mm-hmm. This information is not something you just go about your day.
Yeah.
This stuff has validity, and it's genuine, and it can change lives. It can feed little kids who are starving in Africa. It can help people that are losing their homes in other countries, and people who don't have fresh water and, like, don't have electricity.
Yeah.
Like, serious problems that we can be helping others.
You know, there's a device out there, and I can't really say where it is, but it's a trailer. It's in a trailer. And it's quite interesting. It creates, I think, a terawatt of power, runs on water. It treats the water and makes it a healing water at the same time. You know, it'll take toxic water and run it through the system and get rid of the toxins, you know, and actually burn the toxins for more power.
Is that a Russian device?
Well, I can't really talk about it right now. I can talk about the device, but I can't say where it's coming from. But I mean, these devices, you could drop this little trailer off in a town or a village, you know, say the power went out or whatever else, you could have one of these things there. It would provide, you know, healing drink, clean, pure water. It's even healing water when it comes through this system. It would clean up the water, provide all the power they needed, provide communication if they needed it, everything in this one little trailer. And you think about it, you go, well, if that's the case, why are all these people, like, dying of drought and starvation and, you know, and this device could probably, you know, run a drill, you know, to drill water or whatever, you know. It's like whatever you needed. It'd provide all the energy, communication, and fresh water you needed. You just need a water source.
While somebody might be sitting in their house, like, denying that this technology – in its totality. No, it's impossible, can't happen.
Yeah.
Well, they're most likely in a comfy position in a home. They can go to their fridge and they can go to their comfy bed. But for people who are in third world countries that are starving to death, they're probably saying, please give it a try.
Yeah.
We're willing to have anybody try anything. Please, just fund the people who say that they can help give us food.
Yeah.
So that's where I'm at, is I really focus on things like that and try to get perspective in life. There are really hungry people, and I'm trying to do this to get this type of information heard so that we apply it and help people. Because this isn't just a movie and information that can entertain you. This is stuff that can help you.
Yeah.
And if you take it upon yourself to at least look into it and play around with it a little bit, or at least tell other people, you know, all it takes is for one eccentric investor to fund the right person, and lots of people will benefit from it.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's going to come out. It's just a short matter of time, because it's already there. It's already built, and it's actually, in some cases, it's been shotgunned out to a lot of other people who are
what's already out now. The information's out.
So it's just a matter of time. I know people in the Philippines were running Subarus on straight water. They already had that technology.
Yeah, they have wonderful people in the Philippines. I have some really cool friends there, and they are brilliant working with hydrogen and magnetics and electric generator systems. And they do not get enough credit at all.
Well, you know, what I see is that the people that live on islands that, you know, they don't have the oil reserves. They don't have – they're totally dependent, you know, on other countries and things like that. I mean, those are the ones that are going to bring this stuff out because they're going to have to survive. They know it, you know, and in order to thrive, you know, speaking of Thrive, the movie, these devices were actually in the movie Thrive. you know, Foster Gamble there is just getting hammered over the head by all these so-called spiritual people, you know, and things like that for bringing this information out. You know, it's like, I go, come on, you guys, rather than criticize, come up with a solution. You know, if you have a better idea.
Documentary. I thought that was well put together. The animations for it were really good. I mean, there was some information that that could be refined.
Yeah, exactly. I got so much crap from that one for being in there, you know, and I told him, I said, hey, you know, it's a start. I think they did a damn good job of exposing most of the problems that are on the planet, and took a lot of courage to do that, to expose the international banksters and all the other stuff. I go, the solutions, you know, they had solutions and things, and they have a forum. If you have other ideas or solutions, you know, network it. You know, let's bring them in. But I'm just blown away at how much flack and judgment and criticism and everything else that's come out of that. You know, and I always tell people, if you have, you know, they're open to new ideas. If you have better ideas, then share them. You know,
I know some people who are like totally against Facebook, or even totally against YouTube because the FBI or the CIA owns it, I don't care if they do. Use their own platform. You know how they infiltrate everybody else? Well, why don't you infiltrate them? Use their own platform for your benefit so that you can get this type of information out to others. If they collect it in the meantime, good for them.
What's that saying? Keep your friends close and your enemies closer, you know, so you can keep an eye on them.
I post all these things. Well, what about Facebook? Aren't you concerned that somebody might see what you're posting? No, I hope they do see.
Yeah.
I've never been threatened or had anybody give me a knock on my door, and I feel really left out about it. Like I said, I've had milk and cookies for these people waiting for a long time. They're all stale and spoiled now. I don't think Big Brother is watching as much as people think they are. And I think a lot of that is a ruse to keep people down. And if you think that they have more power than they actually do, you'll act like they have the amount of power that you think that they have. So you'll be a little turtle and crawl in your shell, or you can be a warrior and run towards what You don't know.
So far, I've luckily stayed one step ahead of them because, you know, I had certain meetings I was supposed to go to, and I knew the consequences of them ahead of time and warned some of the other people. And luckily, you know, I've had the inner guidance to say, hey, don't go there. You know, there's another agenda played out, and it's kept me alive so far. And I know I have other friends on high that are watching out after me, but it is a tricky business to get into, but I think it can be done with a little courage and a little wisdom, you know, and I think eventually it's inevitable. It is all going to come out.
Well, of course it is, because we are bringing it out. It's not going to happen unless we do it, and since we are doing it, it's coming out. So that's a great thing. Exciting times. Must be 2012.
Yeah. It's speaking of which, have you been following the sun's activity with these just massive X-class flares? And you know, we just had another. I think it was an M7.7 with a double whammy behind it that just went off.
Oh boy!
Yeah.
Solar flare activity, because I correlate it with great ideas and creativity. I find that on the days that there are most solar activity and there's huge CMEs, I get brilliant epiphanies, and I'll just start working on things and building more stuff, and I'll just all of a sudden meet somebody new, and it'll help me take off more information from there. And it's just I just correlate it with really good times. And if it happens to take down satellites in the process, oh well.
Yeah. Yeah, I was thinking the same thing, because basically, let's say if the grid goes down, then hey, that's going to open the door for the new technology to come in. And I know some of this new technology is not affected by that, by those pulses. It generates its own fields and has its own magnetic bubble that it exists within.
Yeah, good word to use too.
Yeah.
Toroidal bubble, donut.
Yeah. And eventually I think that the nature itself, or the whole cosmos, is going to say, okay, you guys, you need to go to the next level, because your old technology isn't going to work anymore.
Yep. And I wouldn't say it's not going to work anymore, but it's not working now. I mean, the way that it's obviously it's working, it can generate power in a light bulb, great, but the totality of the process ain't working.
No.
Not going to work anymore in that regard, from what I think. And
Well, you know, I was wondering, here's my idea, is right now this Earth is just supercharged. I mean, the energy coming off it. I was up in the mountains during a lightning storm, and I was doing a little vision quest up at this lake, and I saw this lightning bolt come down and hit the Earth, and then I saw another bolt come back up. And I have never seen that before. I've seen lightning come down, but see it boom, and then it come back up again.
That's interesting.
Yeah. I go, you know what? I go, the Earth is like discharging between.
Lightning go down, but thunderbolts go up after the lightning bolt. They also say that there lots of mushrooms grow in rings around lightning strike areas. Mushrooms are gifts from the gods. That's what Terrence McKenna was saying.
Yeah.
Because down and lightning bolts, and there's a lot of things about fungus and mushrooms and electricity and unbelievable information there, and hieroglyphics too. And oh man, that's another show, James.
Yeah, I was thinking about that. The Earth, I think the Earth is going to become such a plasma field. I mean, the energies are going to be so strong here, and here at the ranch, because it's a vortex. Everybody that's coming to the ranch right now going, what? As soon as they walk in the property, they're just, their hair standing up, they're just zinging, and they go, what is going on here? And I think the whole planet eventually is going to end up in, you know, in a field of energy, you might say, that is not going to be conducive to the old technology. You know, all the really complex transistors and resistors and all those other things are just going to poof, you know.
And there's hey, when I was up in the field, up on your ranch, when I was up there, I forget which night it was. Somebody was handing me some the infrared, the night scope.
Yeah.
Vision. And I was looking up in the sky and I saw this one, one light. It was gone. It was not a satellite. So we were checking the satellite tracker and, this was turning. So that was kind of strange. And it's, I stopped looking. I'm like, oh, wow, that was kind of cool, man. And I hand off the binoculars to, I think it was Shelly or Sherry. And she looks up in the sky. She says, oh, my God, look. And there was like six of them that were flying tandem. And then all of a sudden they spiraled and then they all went in different directions.
Yeah.
Like this. And I handed them off, man. That happens to me, like, a lot. I see some amazing stuff sometimes. But a lot of the times, like right when it's mostly when I want to see something, I'm like, oh man, I really want to see something. I'll be searching for an hour or two or three, nothing. When I'm in a calm state and I really don't care if I see anything or not, that's when the magic really happens, and I'll see more activity. I just thought that was funny. As soon as I handed off those things, she saw six of them. I don't think she had ever seen anything before. So that was a really special moment.
Yeah, it's you know, we've spent it's funny because after the conference up here, John Kelly stayed, and we've been out in the field filming, and we've got the most amazing, you know, we'll have two, three at a time speeding up, changing directions. We have two coming in. Two went zipping across, and one took off after the other one was tailing it. You know, huge power ups. You know, beating stuff treetop level, everything. He just got a whole array of footage. You know, incredible footage with three cameras on it, and multiple witnesses and everything else. And a lot of it's going up on the eSETI Stargate channel.
I got to talk to him for a little bit. He's a really humble guy.
Yeah.
I like the guy. He's a very methodical. He's a good, you know, people check out his YouTube channel. He has a lot of the footage up there from eSETI, John Kelly.
Yeah.
J-O-N. He also filmed the presentation, didn't he? When?
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he filmed the presentations.
Are those DVDs going to be available? Or
you know what? They are about one day away.
Really?
So yeah, they've all been rendered. They've been copied. We're making copies right now, and we just have to make the announcement.
Excellent.
Yeah, so we'll shoot you a copy of that, you know, as soon as we have made for all the speakers, you know, so we'll definitely shoot you a copy as well as the other speakers.
Thank you so much, even for, and you know, inviting me up there. And I met, oh my God, some of the most brilliant and charming and wonderful people up at that ranch, James. Like friends for life.
Yeah.
People give me the best insight and feedback. Like I said, when I was up there, I go up there expecting to deliver a bunch of this information that people might not have heard before. And true, I did deliver some information people didn't hear. But a lot of the stuff people did hear about and gave me so much feedback and stuff for me to work on and stuff for me to look into, and just it's like a tennis match. I deliver some info,
yeah,
sparks a flame in somebody, then they give me stuff back, and now we're in contact, and just wonderful things to pursue from here out because of that.
Yeah, I got to show you a photograph of the speakers panel. It's going to blow your mind. Because that panel, when we started off with the speakers panel, this energy came in, and it was like a giant wall of energy coming down over the panel, just full of orbs and massive diamond shaped orbs that were like, some of them were like 6 feet or 3 to 6 feet wide. It was just like, and pink and all these other colors of energy. It's just an amazing photo. You know, there was some real big energy coming in for that panel.
A couple hundred people in that room, that everybody was resonating with each other, and it was just a very good energy. Everybody was well received, very respectful, and it was the best opportunity. Thank you again.
Oh, you're welcome. You know what I love about these is like it's just like one big family. Everybody comes together, and it's a place where all these brilliant minds and like-minded people can share and talk about the outrageous, you know, side of themselves and things like that, and You know, and it's just amazing the amount of information and energy that came through that weekend. I mean, I'm still blown away by it, you know, still adjusting to it. And it's still exponentially growing here.
No doubt. I'm still feeling it.
Yeah.
Meeting those people, when you get to talk to people on YouTube or over the internet, and you don't really get the facial reactions, you don't get the emotion and the humor a lot of behind the stuff. But when you get to really interact with people, it changes your life, and you just get to make really good friends.
Oh yeah. You know, and the two, I have a couple of great pictures of you on the panel too, where you have lights coming out of your eyes, so it's kind of funny.
Yeah, man, probably my red eyes. I get that in pictures a lot. I look like a vampire or something, man.
Like an
So it's
alien.
horrible.
We're going, he's an alien, look. You know, it's like, it's funny. Janet was cracking up. I knew it, like this. It was hilarious. But that's a good sign. You know, you get light coming out of your eyes. I wish more people had light coming out of their eyes.
Yeah.
You know,
Better.
but we're coming up to the end of the hour here on the show. So what's the best way that people can see your work and or get a hold of you if they want to contact you?
Well, since the website is still being built right now, I guess the best way to contact me is on my YouTube channel. And YouTube user, The Real Verbs, THEREAL VERBZ. Or my email, VERBZ at Comcast.net, verbs at Comcast.net. And I have a bunch of videos. I got like at least 100 videos of just my stuff, and then maybe a couple hundred of all this other fantastic information on magnets, crystals, different types of metals, hydrogen projects, and stuff that people might not know about. And it's
Great.
just the stuff to look into. So that's where people can get a hold of me until the website is up and running. And please send me a message, and we'll get to talking, see what we can solve.
Yeah, I really want to explore the fact of the, I mean, getting that some of those other technologies created, you know, especially that Schauburger stuff is you know, figure out how to create some of those parts and start playing around with that kind of energy.
Oh, last thing, look on your Facebook wall. Just yesterday, I posted something about that propeller and that
Okay.
cloud busting technology. That we can try that on your property.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah,
Need
we'll.
the need a pretty big propeller and lots of aluminum powder, but that's pretty much it.
Yeah, we'll definitely have to do that. Well, we've hit the end of the hour, unfortunately, so I'm going to have to sign off. I can't thank you enough for coming on the show, and we'll have to do it again soon.
Thank you so much. Thank the listeners too, and have a good evening.
All right, take care.